Welcome to the Tell Us Something podcast. I'm Mark Moss, your host. Tell Us Something awakens imagination, empowers storytellers, and connects the Missoula community through the transformative power of personal storytelling. It is a celebration of each other, our stories, and how we move through the world together. All of the stories at Tell Us Something are true. Stories last for 10 minutes and are told from memory. Everyone is welcome to tell a story. There is a theme for each event. The Missoula community comes together for a night of true stories, shared live, focused on a theme. Tell Us Something is a quarterly event. Everyone has a story. What's yours? This quarter's Tell Us Something was recorded on February 17th, 2015 at the Top Hat Lounge in Missoula, Montana. 10 storytellers shared their story based upon the theme, adventure. This week's story comes to us from Ed Stalling and is titled, A Gift for Dad. Thank you for listening.
So New York City, New York City is an amazing, amazing place for an adventure. It's a magical, magical place. But you got to know the exact right place to go in New York City to have that magical time. My brother Bob and I, about 20 years ago, found that magical place in the New York Public Library. Not just in the New York Public Library, but down in the basement of the New York Public Library, way down in the northeast corner, there's a windowless, musty old room called the Microfiche Room. Where now, if you're under 30, you can look up microfiche, probably. You can Google it or something. But it's these old machines. You sit down in there, and we would walk up the stairs, the marble stairs to the New York Public Library every morning, wait for the doors to open. We'd rush down into that microfiche room so we could get one of the machines or two of the machines. We'd spend all day in there. We'd be the last people to leave that room. We'd leave to take the train back to Connecticut where he was living at the time. And we just kept doing that day after day. That one day, it was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, from the other side of the microfiche room, he yelled, "I got it! Bingo! Holy shit! I found it!" After days and days of work. So, what he had found was we had been looking through the U.S. Census reports for 1880, 1890, 1900, and I ran over to his machine and looked, and I said, "Holy shit, this you have found the impossible." Our adventure had actually started about 6 or 7 months before, and like any good adventure, it started over alcohol. We had been having a couple beers. I was the genealogist in the family, and we were talking about my grandmother, my father's mother, who died when he was only 2 years old. His father quickly remarried, and she was an alcoholic. And in a drunken fit of rage one night, she had burned every single picture that existed of his original mother. And for some reason, which I still don't understand, his father never talked about the original mother. He was a merchant marine that was never home and married 4 or 5 other times. So he knew nothing about his mother other than that her name was Emma Schmidt and that there was some kind of connection to Cuba. As the genealogist, I had dug around and had found some things, but, you know, basic vital statistics, boring facts, you know, when she died. And on her death certificate, it said she was born in Havana, Cuba, which I thought was interesting. But very little information. My brother, being a tenacious Northeasterner who knows nothing about genealogical research, over a couple of pints of beer, he said, "Look, you know that somewhere in this country, sitting in an attic in an old cardboard box is a photo album with pictures of her. What's the chance of that?" And I said, "You know, there probably is." He said, "What's the chance we could ever find that?" And I said, "Absolutely impossible." Now, this was the days before internet. It was just coming on, so you couldn't just push a button and find things. You had to do a lot of work. And I said, it would take years of work and probably $10,000 of research and just all kinds of stuff. He got another pint, and he kept pushing me. He said, "Let's give it a shot." I said, "Absolutely no way. You're insane." Bought another pint of beer. And finally, after four pints of beer, I said, all right, I'll commit to a year. We'll work together for a year, and we'll go after this thing. And the next morning, I said, what the hell have I done? Because I knew what it would take. A lot of trips to New York, you know, just lots of library work, just going through all of this stuff. So our plan was, his mom, I found her in the U.S. Census, and she had a couple brothers and a couple sisters. So I said, hey, if we can find, you know, this was his mom, she had our dad, and here's us. For the brothers and sisters, if we can find their grandkids, like us, they might have a photo album. That's our best chance. Let's work off of the siblings. The brothers, we worked on for about a month. Forget about it. It was horrible. The last name was Schmidt. Have you ever looked in? You probably haven't. But if you ever do look in the 1900 U.S. Census for Manhattan for the name Schmidt, right? You're done. So on to the sisters. Now, here's something about genealogical research. Sisters suck. The reason sisters suck for genealogists is you might find them at 16 years of age. Then they get married, and 10 years later, when the next U.S. Census is done, they're gone forever until you find out who they married. And that's very tough to find. At least it was before the internet. So, sister one. What he had found that day in the microfiche room of the New York Public Library, when he said, holy shit, was the impossible. He had found sister number one living in the same household, but with her new husband. So we knew who she married. Right? So now we have a fresh lead to go on. Not only that, but it was a very odd name. So only 40 people in the country had that last name, so we started calling them. All 40, we started calling them. Now, it was tough because you say, hear me out. You don't know me, but I'm talking about, do you know these people from 100 years ago in Manhattan? Right? They're living here. This was their names. Click. You'd call them back and say, no, seriously, hear me out because you've got the same last name as these. Click. Two people actually said, I'm black. Are you black? I said, no, I'm not black. They said, click. You know, it's not. So the last number I called was in Hawaii. And the reason is because back then Hawaii was expensive. We didn't have any money. Called Hawaii, gave him the spiel, no click. It's silent. And he goes, you're talking about my grandparents, my grandmother. And I said, oh, my God, found the family, just like we thought. I spent the next 2 months with the people in this person's family. We've become close, that knew their family history, but a complete dead end. They knew nothing about my father's mom. They never knew she had a sister, that their grandmother had a sister named Emma. Done, dead end. So we're basically done. But there was one thing they did know. They knew who the second sister had married, which totally opened up that lead. Her name was Consuelo Schmidt, and they said, we know that she, true story, I got picked. So she said that she married a guy named Rhodes. I spent another month looking for Consuelo Rhodes and found her in Virginia. She had just passed away 3 years ago at 90 years old in a nursing home. I found the death records. So it ends up she had lived, for all the time I was growing up in Connecticut, she had lived 30 miles away from my dad, his mom's own sister, that could have told all kinds of tales. I found her, she had passed away, but I found out she had a son. And I found out the son was very high up in the Pentagon. So I had the balls to call the Pentagon, which I was really scared about, and talking to this guy that's high up and said, now, listen, I started telling him this tale. He goes, it's very disturbing that you know so much about my family and that you know my mom and that she's from Cuba. He said, I'll tell you what, I have absolutely no interest in any of this. I just never have. But I have every box that my mom owned in the attic, and I will guarantee to you that I'll, over the next winter, every now and then if I have time, I'll look through these photos. He didn't even know it was in the boxes. I said, great, thanks. We kept in touch a little bit. About a month later, he called me and he goes, isn't your last name Stalling? I said, it is. He goes, I got a photo on the back. And on the back it says Stalling. He found two or three more. He did not want to even send those to us. But he said, I'll tell you what, fly to Washington, D.C., sit with you. You can stay in my house. We'll go through all these boxes together. So I flew my father, who's now like 75 years old, my brother and I, we all flew in. He opened up his home, his wife and him, to us. We went through all these boxes. But by the time we got there, it was like midnight, right, with my father. He picked us up at the airport. We get into this guy's house, and his wife is showing us where we can sleep. And I said, no, the picture. Where's the picture? He goes, that can wait till morning. He really said, that can wait till morning. And I'm thinking, what if my father dies, right? Tonight, in the same house as the picture of his mother. He pulls out the picture, shows it to my dad. My dad looks at the picture and goes, oh my God, I've never seen a picture of my father so young. And that woman, it looked like a wedding picture that his arm is around. He goes, she looks exactly like my brother. And his finger touched her face and he goes, that's my mom. And my brother and I looked at each other and we said, you know what? We did it. My father died about 3 years later. And at his funeral, at the end of the funeral, my brother came over. We had a private little toast with our beer and we said, you know what? We gave a hell of a gift to Dad. And that's it. Thank you.
Tell Us Something is proud to be fiscally sponsored by Missoula Community Foundation, a 501c3 organization. Missoula Community Foundation has been providing leadership to Missoula nonprofits and inspiring long-term philanthropy in Missoula since 2007. For the good of Missoula, forever. MissoulaCommunityFoundation.org. Thank you for your support of live storytelling and local art. The bookstore at the University of Montana, a local bookstore serving the students, faculty, and staff of the University of Montana, as well as the Missoula community. MontanaBookstore.com. Fact and Fiction, where books, authors, ideas, and readers interact. FactandFictionBooks.com. Top Hat Lounge, bringing great music to Missoula for over 60 years. The Top Hat now serves food and offers, in addition to great music, comedy shows, film, performance art, and storytelling. TopHatLounge.com. Haley Faust. Haley is a graphic and media designer based in the heart of the Rocky Mountains. From concept to final design launch, Haley puts her heart and soul into your design project. HaleyFaust.com. Zoo City Apparel. Custom screen printing and more. ZooCityApparel.BigCartel.com. Thanks to Cash for Junkers, who provided the music for the podcast. Find them at CashForJunkersMusic.com. Rock and Rudy's, your source for the best music, gifts, and more. Great music, great people, rockandrudy's.com. Podcast production by Nathan Zavolny of Missoula Soundworks, missoulasoundworks.com. And thank you to everyone who attends the events, those of you who download the podcast, and to the storytellers, Jim Beyer, Aaron O'Brien, Pat Abbey, David Michael Sojourn Dupuy, Carla Thielen, Kevin Bassett, Katie Asaro, Michael English, Carly Fetzer, and Ed Stalling. Find us on Facebook and Twitter. Check the website to find out how you can tell your own story and to learn about the 2015 Tell Us Something dates and themes. TellUsSomething.org. Have a great one.